Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hey everybody, this is Zach Batchett, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Welcome to New Life Live. Wherever you're spending time with us today, thanks so much for joining us. I am here with Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Zach. Great to be here with you and our listeners today.
Awesome. Yes, agreed. And we have Becky Brown. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Zach. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Becky. Great to have you.
We are hanging out with you today for the next hour, and 1-800-229-3000 is the number if you want to call. It's Mental Health Awareness Month here during the month of May, and we've had some several openings to the show here recently where we've kind of talked about some different mental health issues, and I'm somebody that has been in vocational student ministry for 17 years. It was my first job right out of school. I actually interned as a college student and have been serving in student ministry ever since, and actually serve as the student pastor where Steve Arterburn is the teaching pastor at Northview Church in Indiana. And I'm growing quite concerned, especially coming out of a time of isolation and the pandemic and a lot of mental health crises on the rise. There's just some really alarming statistics on depression among youth. I think there's a lot of correlation between social media use and those mental health issues being even more increased when that's the case. A lack of community. Gen Z in particular, I think, identifies more with their digital tribe than their in-person tribe. And we could talk about how healthy or unhealthy that is. But it's just, it's growing more and more concerning. And so what my question would be to throw to you, Becky, we'll start with you, is how do we help these teens and these students understand that there's so many things contributing to their this depression, and how do we actually help them to find hope? Because I think a lot of kids are feeling this sense of deep helplessness, and they just don't have the maturity yet to work through it. So how do we help these kiddos?
You know, you are on the front line, Zach, because that is you just described all of the ways that they are struggling.
Yeah.
You know, screen use is part of our lives. It's not going away. And what's happened in this generation is that they've never really had an experience or many experiences of eyeball-to-eyeball connection. And so, you know, community is such an important part of showing them that life doesn't end and begin on a screen. But you can't tell them that because we all use our screens. We all use them for lots of different reasons, and they are beneficial. Obviously, we couldn't be doing what we're doing now. But here's the thing. We got to hear them. We've got to have time with them and not just structured time where, okay, tell me all that's going on in your life. It's really got to be working alongside of them. And everybody's busy, but, you know, parents as well as grandparents, aunts and uncles, you know, we just got to invest into their lives in a person-to-person way. And instead of texting, maybe pick up the phone and call. You know, that's always such a weird thing. You get your voicemail, but I just think that human connection will counterbalance all of the screen use that they have and give them an opportunity to share what's going on inside of their lives.
Yeah. Sherry, how would you coach maybe some parents that may know that their kid is really going through a time of depression about how to kind of parent through that?
You know, I mean, if a kid is depressed, usually parents go in the room and see all their stuff everywhere and, you know, clothes everywhere and something that they ate last night sitting there on their desk, and they start cleaning up the room and getting irritated. And I tell parents, I go, just try something different. Do it as a science project. Just go in and sit on the ground. Not on the bed. Just go in and sit on the ground and just say, hey, I just wanted to see how you were. And they might go, oh, I don't want to talk to you. But when you lower yourself, you sit on the ground, you just become a different person instead of standing over them. There's times, many times, that it just opens up their heart to share because you become safe instead of big.
Well said. Well said. We're taking your calls today, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Zach Manchett filling in for Steve Arterburn today. I'm here with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Becky Brown. We just got done talking about just some of the statistics among teenagers and as the mental health issues like depression are on the rise. And I thought to myself, too, as kids, you know, they've got more accessibility than ever, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have more connection than ever. And right. Just this idea, if you're a parent listening today or a parent figure, man, double down on helping your kids find good, solid community, like in-person relationships, good quality friendships. I tell our students all the time, like, you have no idea the influence the people around you have over the choices and the decisions that you make. And sometimes a lot of their depression is rooted in their brain development, starting to think about, okay, how is this person going to perceive me? And like, if I do this, what will they think of me? And it's all this kind of, and that fills their headspace along with all the normal teenager changes. As Sherry said earlier, you may just need to be going in and providing your presence more than your advice, or at the very least, front loading the conversation with your presence and just being available to talk and listen before adding your advice. And so I know it's a challenging time to be a parent figure, and I know the kids are going through uniquely challenging circumstances, but we also know that we serve a big God who loves these kids way more than you love your own kids, and we believe that you can find healing in Him and find healing through so many resources that New Life provides. So if you're struggling, just visit us at newlife.com. We'd love to get you connected with some good resources. We want to get to our calls here. So we're going to go to Fred first. Fred is listening to us from Texas. And so, Fred, thanks so much for joining us here at New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Well, thanks for having me. I don't even really know where to get started. I'm 63 years old. I lost my wife back in 2011.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I've been trying to, I'm just now getting started to where I think I want to meet somebody and all this stuff. Well, I get on this dating site, and which I know nothing about because I'm old. But anyway, this lady gets in touch with me through the dating site, and we get to talking and all this stuff, and seems like hitting things off. And I asked her, I said, you know, what do you do and all this stuff? And she said, well, I'm an investor. And I said, okay. She said she invested Bitcoin. And she asked me if I would be interested, and I said, no, not really. I'm on here looking for somebody, you know, I'm looking for somebody to love me. I'm not interested in no Bitcoin. Well, if you can give me $2,000, I can get you $20,000 within 24 hours or 48 hours. So I did it. Make a long story short, I'm out about 50 grand now. And mm-hmm. I didn't get nothing. And my question is, and this is really eating me up, I'm having a hard time dealing with this, is I know the Lord blessed me with that money, and that's His money, and I'm just a steward of His money. Hmm. And I know He'll forgive me for everything I do. But will He ever trust me again? Hmm. You know, I'm having a hard time dealing with the thought in my head that He won't ever trust me again. You know, and she took everything I had. Yeah. And now I'm broke, and I got loans that I didn't have, getting her money because it just kept growing and growing, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I mean, yeah, Fred, I'm so sorry. Thanks for calling, and I appreciate your vulnerability and even sharing that. I know that's got to be so difficult to share that, especially when you feel like, you know, gosh, this is – embarrassing, or I can't believe that, you know, you got scammed maybe a little bit.
I feel pretty stupid.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. And I just, even thanks for your honesty and even sharing that. I'm gonna send it to the ladies here in a second. I just want to encourage you with something, because your question of will God ever trust me again with his money, that is about as raw and heartfelt of a question. But I want to encourage you from something that we actually see in Scripture. When Peter denies even knowing Jesus, which Jesus said that he would do, Peter says, no way would I ever do that. And then he does. He makes the greatest mistake of his life. We actually have an account in the book of John that Jesus, after he rose from the dead, had another conversation with Peter. I'm just trying to imagine putting myself in Peter's shoes, like, how do you even face the person that you said you denied even knowing? And you know what Jesus does in that conversation? He says, Peter, do you love me? Asks him three times, and he tells Peter to feed his sheep. Eventually, he says, I'm going to build my church upon you, Peter. Think about this. After Peter's greatest failure, Jesus gave him his greatest responsibility. That's the kind of God that we serve, that we can make mistakes and that God can still entrust us with much. And I want you to know that you're probably having a tough time overcoming the shame and the guilt of making that pretty monumental mistake, but I want you to know that our God is gracious, he is good, and he still can entrust you as a steward of his resources and his plan for your life. So I just want to encourage you, because if he can give that second chance to Peter after royally blowing it, and Peter could go on to lead a church movement that changed the course of history, please know that you have that opportunity to make things right as well. I just wanted to encourage you with that, because in our lowest moments, it can feel very, very hard to overcome. And so please be encouraged by that. I'll throw it to you, Sherry, maybe on how you can best help Fred here.
Hey, Fred. Gosh, what a horrible thing. What a horrible thing. I think you have what I had. I call it the deadly duo. It's a trauma event. You had a trauma event. The negative belief that I am stupid, do you know that gets wired in? Your brain wires that in. And there's another negative belief I'm hearing, that's I can't trust my judgment. And maybe even I can't trust anyone else, right? Just because of what happened to you, the impact of it, your brain wires in a negative belief about yourself, because it's trying to protect you. But it's shame. The person that should be feeling shame, there's healthy shame. There's good shame and bad shame. This is shame, good shame. This person should be feeling ashamed of what they've done, because she robbed you. She's a con artist. But you have some shame based on the trauma event. The opposite of I am stupid, do you know what it is? This is the three things I would have you write down. This is the secret sauce of truth. The opposite of I'm stupid is I was duped. How does it feel to think about the fact that you're not stupid, but you were duped? You were deceived.
Well, the thing about it is God blessed me with a giving heart, and I'll give it to anybody. I'll help anybody. I want to bless everybody. And normally I wouldn't fall for something like that, but
what happened between the two?
I wouldn't wish being lonely on anybody.
I get it. What happened between the 2,000 and the 50,000? Did she just keep telling you, I need 2,000 more? How did it grow so quickly?
Well, okay. What happened was, she said, well, okay, it's kind of like a stock market, and the 2,000 you gave me wasn't quite enough. If you'll give me, it got to the point where it's like she was holding my money hostage.
I get it. So you know what?
She was telling me she was going to marry me, and we're going to have a wonderful life with all the money that we're going to get from investing and all
right.
this stuff.
So she duped you.
Wrong for believing that.
I know. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I bet you, Fred, you have a whole lot of days of your life that you've been able to trust your judgment. But that's one of the other negative beliefs that got wired in at the crime scene. And this is a crime scene. She stole from you. The other negative belief is I can't trust my judgment, because you're questioning yourself. And you're even questioning...
I don't trust anything.
I know. That's the deadly duo. I can't trust anyone, and I can't trust my judgment. Mm. I got stuck... I got hogtied in that, my friend, for a long time, until I got into the truth, which is, I can trust my judgment, because I trust my judgment for decades before I met this woman who duped me. And then the other is... I can choose whom to trust. She wasn't trustworthy. But you're calling us today. We're trustworthy. You know that. You trust us.
I just need some relief because I battle depression anyway, and now it's 10 times worse. I'm having anxiety over all of this.
But you know what, Fred? Let me tell you what you haven't done yet. You haven't forgiven yourself.
Hmm. I don't know how. I've been told that numerous times, and I don't know how.
Sounds like this.
I really don't.
It sounds like this.
I came up in a bad life, bad childhood. I mean, I had an alcoholic father that always said I was stupid and I would never amount to anything. And then this happens, and it just confirms everything you said.
Yeah, that's trauma in your family of origin and trauma now, and they just lined up.
And because of that, I have a hard time, because you call God Father, and then my father.
Yeah.
I just sometimes feel like God's going to be like my father and not be very forgiving.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fred,
that's tough.
That's so many of us do that, Fred. We project our earthly dad onto God's face, and we think that God is going to be the same. And God isn't. God isn't. God ransomed his whole life for you. $50,000 is nothing compared to what God ransomed in giving his life for you. He loves you. But we can hold ourselves hostage to something we did that was wrong and then feel distant from God, when that's the last thing the Lord wants to do.
That's
Becky,
right.
What are your thoughts?
That I don't feel like anybody loves me.
Well, and I'm wondering, Fred...
I don't feel
Fred,
like anybody loves me.
I'm wondering, Fred, if you have anybody around you. Are you in a church? Do you have neighbors? Do you have family? Are there any people around you?
I live in a camper on 10 acres out by myself.
Okay. So step one is going to be...
Go to work and go home.
Okay. So, but here's step two then. You won't go to work and go home. Fred, I want you to get involved with community, and it can be a local church. It's going to take some time to get used to having people around you. I remember when my mother-in-law passed away, my father-in-law talked about the deep loneliness he experienced in the loss of his wife. And so what happened is, between the loneliness and your isolation, you became vulnerable. And also those false beliefs that Sherry's talking about.
Yeah.
And so when you're in community, you can disrupt those thoughts, because other people know you, how you are. You know, you're a generous person, Fred. You have love to give. You're not that old. 60's getting younger and younger all the time.
Yes.
But I want to encourage you to get connected. And I don't know what part of Texas you're in, but we can get you connected to a life recovery group. You
know, that's a great,
having an alcoholic father can be really challenging throughout our life, and we have to get some resolution to that. And so I think those are going to be the steps forward, so that you can, you know, heal from this. I love what you said, Zach, to him, because this is so true, that, you know, God loves us to the end of our lives. And I think when we make, you know, when we make wrong, you know, decisions, and we feel like we've been duped, we can feel like God has moved, but he has actually moved closer to you, Fred. He hears your heart, he feels your sadness, and he knows that there's somebody out there, not only just to share your life with in a romantic relationship, but also just in community. So that's what I would suggest for you.
Yeah, and it's tough, because when you really are deeply, deeply desiring the approval of others. I mean, when I hear my father never approved of me, I wonder if God approves of me. And then you taste just this, the littlest approval from somebody else, that you're wanting their approval, it can maybe drive you to do things you wouldn't otherwise do. And that's what community can help you think through and get to the root of why you're feeling that way. And so, Fred, we hope that I would recommend a life recovery group for you. And again, thanks so much for calling
today.
Let's
send him a life recovery Bible, too.
That'd be great. Yeah, good call. We'll do that as well. Stay on the line. We're going to go to Andrea next after the break. But if you're still on for taking the calls, we'll get to you in just a second. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I want to remind you that taking care of your mental health is as important as eating healthy, exercising, or even saving for the future. To help you manage your mental health and to better understand those with struggles, we're featuring a sale on a variety of books, CDs, and devotions all month long. Visit our online store at newlife.com to shop the sale.
Thanks again for joining us here at New Life Live. Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Sherry Keffer and Becky Brown are with me. We're taking your calls today. We're actually going to go to Andrea next. She is joining us today from Florida. And Andrea, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
It's a kind of a long story, but I want to thank you for taking my call. I'm in a 30 plus year marriage, and my husband has been abusive from time to time throughout our marriage, not just with me, but with my children, and they're my children from a previous marriage. I'm 74, my kids are out of the house, it's just the two of us now. And for the last 7 years, I've been dealing with a lot of verbal abuse, some physical from time to time. Not like beating me up or anything, but threw a remote at me and created a huge bruise on my arm, has grabbed me by my throat. There's only been a couple of those incidences, but what I'm dealing with and have been dealing with are these outbursts of anger that he displays, and it's name calling and lots of profanity, and it got worse after he retired, and his father, he had to take the guardianship of his dad and had to have him committed. And so he oversaw him for 4 years right after retirement. And then he had to go through the settling of the estate, which was another 2 years after that. But during that time is when all of this verbal stuff started to raise its head. And
yeah.
There's been that throughout the marriage, but It has increased. And I started journaling because it just got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. And I went to a counselor for about 6 or 8 weeks. And, we kind of reached a point where if he wasn't going to get help, there really wasn't anything I could do. Because you could just only deal with so much. But, I gave him an ultimatum because the last outburst, I wanted to back up just a second. I started journaling last fall, and I was even shocked myself at the frequency of these outbursts of anger and the profanity and the name calling. And this last outburst, I'm sorry, I get very emotional.
That's okay, Andrea. We're so sorry that this has happened to you. Oh my goodness, this doesn't even feel like you're in a safe situation. I'm sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to kind of clarify, what is a specific way, or what's your specific question for us today, and how we can help you?
My question is, this last outburst, I told him, I said, I'm leaving. I have two dogs. I said, I'm packing my clothes, I'm taking my dogs, and I'm going to North Carolina. And if you do not get, we have a house in North Carolina. And I said, if you don't get help, I'm not coming back. And so that's where I'm at. He has gone into counseling, and that was not basically very voluntary. I mean, I had to make the first appointment, and after this last outburst and me leaving, and then he's seen a counselor, I think, three times now. Don't know that he has another one scheduled yet, but I mean, I had to come back at some point because I have a home in Florida, and I just had to come back. And honestly, I just don't even know what to do anymore. I feel like I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. I just don't know what to do.
Actually, yeah. You do. You do, Andrea. You know what you're doing. Your body's telling you what you need to do. What is your body telling you?
Well, I didn't want to come back. I didn't want to come back home.
Okay.
I was perfectly happy.
I know. So I want you to listen to that. I want you to listen to that. It's been a long time since you've been able to really listen to that and honor what your body is telling you. You are an abuse victim. You're a woman who's been living with the domestic violence for her whole life with this man. He's an abuser. And there's a part of you, I think, that is very afraid to be without your abuser. You don't like him. You don't like being hurt. But you're not so sure what it looks like to be in North Carolina and be on your own for a while. Be safe. As Zach said it. He said, wow, it sounds like you're not even safe. You've drawn a boundary. But let's see if we can help you figure out how you can put your roots down and get comfortable with what your body is telling you right now, which is run. Don't go back.
That's right. That's right. Andrea, stay on the line. We'll be right back after this break.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today. Zach Matchett, filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm here with Becky Brown and Dr. Sherry Keffer. We've got Andrea on the line. Becky, I'll go to you just because we had Andrea on the line here. I want to get your thoughts, too, just the situation that she finds herself in. So, Becky, what do you have?
Well, I want to disagree with your last counselor because there is more that you can do, but it's not about him. And to echo what Sherry just said, you have to have some space and time to kind of reset and to not decide what to do about him at this point. And I love that you have another location. You have been the victim of domestic violence. And I think what happens in these situations is we minimize. It was just a slap. It was just he threw something at me. And none of that is okay. None of that is okay. He has an anger problem. It doesn't matter if he had to take over his dad's estate. It's not, you're not the punching bag.
Yes.
It's, you know, so the challenge that you have, Andrea, is to understand that he is not your problem. your healing has to be your focus. And I just want to encourage you, you know, whatever you got to do, maybe do a legal separation so that you have some clarity about what to do in your healing time as far as financial and that type of thing. But I think so many times when we have experienced this over a 30-year period, we don't even know how to get started in the future. And, you know, I know, Sherry, that's what you were talking about. And it's just, my heart goes out to Andrea. And there is hope.
I'm actually, I've been gone for 3 weeks, and I'm on the road right now. I'm on the way back home to my Florida home. And that is, I guess, basically my question. I don't know. I mean, if things will be all right, but I just feel like at some point the other shoe's going to drop. And
so, Andrea, let me ask you a question. What do you love about him? What are you returning to? He's beat you. He's choked you. He's cussed you out. What are you going home to? What do you love about him that makes you want to be with this man?
There isn't anything.
Okay.
I don't feel that kind of love anymore. I'm devastated. And I just feel like I don't know which way to go. You know, I have this record that plays in my head that God will work this out. God's going to work this out. Just let it go and let God take care of it.
Okay, but let me tell you, there might be others that disagree with me as I'm talking to you right now. Do you know what Becky just said? Is that oftentimes abuse survivors are in denial. Mm-hmm. Do you know that spiritualization, spiritualizing is a form of denial? It's a form of denial. Isn't that shocking?
I never thought about it.
Yeah.
Well, he gaslights me.
Well,
he tells me whenever anything happens and he gets mad, it's always because of something I said or something I did.
Right. And when there is gaslighting, I'm glad you know what that is. I'm often asking questions about, is there pornography use? You know, what is he hiding? Because gaslighting happens when somebody twists the truth to make you believe something's wrong with you, where they're hiding something over here. And so there could be a porn addiction. There could be anything. But he's harming you. He's harming you. And I want you to really think about that and get into some therapy right now with somebody else, because I disagree with your counselor too, Becky. I'm glad you said that. I was like, what are you doing? You know what? And let me tell you something.
Right.
Sometimes as counselors, we feel as powerless and helpless as you do. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, then we release you when there's still a big problem. And then you just have to find another counselor who isn't overwhelmed and one who maybe specializes in domestic violence. That's what I would be looking for.
Sherry, I'm thinking that Andrea needs to turn around at the next exit and go back to North Carolina for a while.
I vote for that. I don't know. She might need, what do you need, girl? What do you need at your house right now?
Well, I'm over halfway back to Florida, so.
No. That's
okay.
We're not asking
okay.
you. I'll give you the gas money, girl. What do you need there? What are you going back to?
My grandchildren are there, and my two youngest daughters are there, and my dogs have got group appointments tomorrow. I can.
Well, Andrea, here's the thing, though. What's the boundary in place for when you return home? Is he going to have to go somewhere else while you're there? Will you stay at one of your daughter's houses?
No. I was just coming. When I left, I said, unless you get help, I'm not coming back.
Okay, but
so
he's...
His answer was to get counseling, but he had two or three sessions while I left, when I was gone. I don't know that he's got anything scheduled, because he met the criteria that I set down was...
Okay, guess what?
Get some help.
Guess what? He hasn't even kicked a tire yet in his counseling.
That's right.
And so your illusion, your denial... is that, okay, he's had three sessions, now I can go back and stay in the house. No, I don't want you in the house. I want you with one of your daughters. I want you to get your dogs.
Do not
stay in that house. He's going to do whatever he's going to do right now to get you back, because he's going to need to abuse you more. That's the problem. He's not sober. He's not safe. He will abuse you again as soon as things settle down again. That's the cycle of abuse.
You know, I want you, even though I don't know what his history is, but I think your book, Sherry, could be so helpful
to Andrea. I do, too. I do, too.
To understand this dynamic. And I think so many women will go back into a situation, and the one question I always ask is, well, what was different? What caused you to go back? Well, he was in a better mood. Or, well, you know, he had done a couple of counseling. Or,
it's
well,
pretty
it
low
wasn't
bar.
As bad.
Pretty low bar.
It is,
yeah.
Yeah. And what I want you to do, here is the moment to make a difference. And, Andrea, you can't do this on your own. You need support because there's healing that has to be done after 30 years of domestic violence and gaslighting and everything else that goes into an unhealthy relationship.
And I want you, we'll send you my book. I know we don't have this one to give to you, but I want you to buy this book. It's The Emotionally Destructive Marriage by Leslie Vernick. You got to get that one, girl. That is good. So you'll have two amazing resources to help get your head clear when you're in North Carolina.
Yeah, we need to get her into it. That's right. We've got to get her away from the danger. I mean, that's just the number one priority is to make sure that she's in a safe place. So, Andrea, thanks again. I know that, gosh, it's so hard to just open up about all these things that are going on. I really do, Andrea, appreciate you calling and reaching out to us today. We're going to go to Jen next. Jen is listening to us in North Carolina. Jen, thanks so much for being with us on New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. I was wondering, how could I get help for my daughter who experienced sexual trauma in college? She's been dealing with depression, and she did speak with her primary care, and she put her on medication. However, she's in a doctoral program, and she's about 4,000 miles away from me. She said to me on recently that she felt like she didn't want to be here, and that that just really concerned me. Yeah. I spoke with her about getting some help. She's picked up a lot of weight. At the time when it happened, she trusted a friend who put something in her drink.
Oh, man.
And she never had a boyfriend, never dated, just a very strong Christian, just loves the Lord, and still has never gone out, you know, had a boyfriend or gone on a date or anything like that. She's tried internet dating, and it didn't pan out. Found out that the guy that she had been talking to, she did some outside research and found out that he was married, and she immediately cut it off. But my concern now is she's experienced a lot of health issues as a result since that incident in college, and a lot of weight gain, a lot of health issues, and I've talked to her. We are very, very close, and she talks to me about everything. Yeah. Some things I don't want to hear, but anyway.
You're such a safe mom. You're such a safe mom. Did you have a question so we can be really clear on?
Yes. How can I encourage her, or, you know, I don't want to push too much about getting help, but at the same time, I know she needs to speak with someone. She says, Mom, I have you, but I said, there could be, you know, some missing pieces, some things that you may have forgotten. You just need someone else to talk to. And she said that she would be amenable to speaking. She said that she would pray about it and that she would get back with me. So how can I continue to encourage her to try to reach out and get some therapy besides just medication?
Yeah, well, and New Life can help even partnering with her with figuring out counseling and some of those resources that you just mentioned. So stay on the line, Jen. We'll be back after this break because we'd love to get you some help. Again, thanks for joining us on New Life Live today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Sherry Keffer and Becky Brown are with me. I wanted to just do a quick reminder for those of you that give during the month of May against Mental Health Awareness Month. We want to actually give you a brand new devotional if you give this month, 100 Days to Freedom from Anger. We believe this devotion can help you explore the source of your anger, give you some remedies for that. And I think about how God is a God that's slow to anger, and how maybe figuring out more of the character of God can impact and certainly influence the way that we respond to anger in our life. And so we want to send you that devotional if you give during the month of May. We've got Jen here on the lines. Talk to us about her daughter who has some sexual trauma in her life from kind of an incident and has kind of resulted in some troubling issues. And it sounds like, Jen, that your daughter is open to some help. We think that here at New Life we can get you some resources. But I want to, Becky, I think here would just be seeing a counselor. Talking to somebody other than her mother is probably the best next step. What do you think?
Whenever we have a traumatic experience like what she has had, on top of the fact that she has all these stressors, you know, working through a doctoral program can create all kinds of stress.
That's like stressor times five, getting your PhD. Goodness gracious.
Right. We need a path and a process so that we can heal. And so, Jen, she's open to it, and she's talking to you about this. And if someone stresses or expresses that they are wanting to hurt themselves or to take their life, we have to take action. We've got to be involved with making sure that she's safe, because it is in those lonely hours, those dark hours when she's not talking to you, that she may act on something like that. So that would be, you know, step one, we've got to get her some help. And so we can connect you with a counselor, of course. I also think a community group, whether it is a recovery group or even somebody that she's at school with, you know, it doesn't have to be mental health focused, because a lot of times we can, you know, we just need other people around us. It could be a Bible study. It could be any kind of way that she is connecting so that people can see her for the lovely person that she is, instead of everything being a problem right now.
Yeah.
Well, she had three really good friends at school, but they've moved away because they've moved ahead in their program. And so that kind of, you know, it's almost like she crashed, just got really sad after that when they left.
Yeah, Jen.
So she doesn't have anyone. And she has very conservative views. So she doesn't have any friends now because they've all moved away.
Jen, is your daughter involved in a local church of any kind, or some young adult group of any kind, through a church, through a ministry?
She sings. She has a Catholic church that she's a member of there, sings on Sundays once a month. But she's not involved in a group in particular.
Yeah.
She's working part-time, and she's, you know, in our program, so...
Yeah.
One of the things I want to suggest, I know we just have a couple minutes here left, I want to suggest thinking about doing some trauma work. The limbic system in our brain has a part of it is called the amygdala. The amygdala is part of the brain that holds the highly charged emotional memories, both good and bad. Well, guess what happens if we have bad memories, trauma memories in that amygdala? It causes depression. That's the limbic system. It modulates whether you are in a good mood or in a very sad or depressed mood. That's the part of her brain that needs to be cleaned out. Medication's going to numb her pain, but it's not going to clean the container out. And so I would suggest she do some something called EMDR. It's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing to help actually... I mean, it was a betrayal. Here's a married man who betrayed her, and not only betrayed her, drugged her, and sexually took advantage of her.
This was a friend at school. Yeah,
I thought you said she did some work and or looked around, and the friend was married.
Oh, that was the online dating.
Oh, God.
Give us some clarity there, Jen. Sorry.
Yeah, no, my bad. Yeah. So this was a friend. It's a betrayal. It was a friend who betrayed her by drugging her and then sexually using her. I have worked with your daughter, not your daughter, but other daughters like your daughter. And with my EMDR, I've done some somatic work, you know, where they actually process their feelings and by, you know, moving their body and just getting that trauma out. It's so important. Her brain won't heal and her heart won't heal until she does some of the deeper work.
Yeah. Okay. Jen, have you, and this maybe feel like a counterintuitive question because we've been talking about your daughter and the things that she has gone through, but I'm going to ask you directly. Jen, have you reached out to see a counselor? Because I can imagine being a parent of an adult child and seeing her go through that pain, that that's brought up some things in you as well. So have you seen a counselor to kind of work through some of those things?
Yes, I'm actually... Actually, I am, and my husband and I am individually because I had some triggers that came up, some childhood things that I completely have forgotten about, and watching television and started seeing flashes, and that I decided to get some help. So we're doing some, I'm doing some individual work, and we're doing some work together with the therapist.
Is it sexually related? Is sexual molest or sexual abuse in some way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, as a child.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that you and your daughter are at a very similar place of healing, that there was a sexual violation that happened to both of you at different ages, but you doing your own healing... And just listen to everything we said for your daughter. I'm like, do that too. Wow, what a deep place that you guys might be able to continue growing and processing as you're both doing the deeper trauma work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's agreed. And I think that and the reason I ask is because it's going to dig up emotions. When you raise a child... and even though that child moves on into the next phase of life, but you see them struggle, you see them go through challenges, and you just articulated that those challenges now are bringing back old memories and old things that happen to you that are now entering into your present, just like the parenting journey of how to parent and love your kids in adulthood. And so, but again, I know that it's easy, and I say this often, I know it's easy to double down and get your kid the help, get your child the help, because we want to see them flourish and succeed. And every time we say yes to that, we inadvertently say no to our own journey of healing and our own journey of finding a piece of the situation. Is there a resource we can send to Jen? I thought about Healing as a Choice, but I'd like to throw it to you
ladies.
To see if that was... Okay, great. I just think that's a great book for you to dig into and to help you with this. Yeah, I think the last thing we'd maybe share, too, is just some ways to maybe help overcome that trauma. I think about people that may be in similar situations or different ones where that trauma word is used a lot. What is the action step there, Sherry, for people that have been in trauma?
I think when we've experienced something like this, it is, you used a word earlier, counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive to go back to that and actually touch it. To heal it. You're not going to relive it. You can't relive it. You lived it once. But getting with a specialist that can help you touch it, move it out of your body, move it out of your mind, move it out of your heart so that you can heal is actually the way to go. It takes being incredibly courageous to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Again, if you find yourself and you're just in need of some help, whether it's a topic we talked about today or otherwise, give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or visit us online at newlife.com. If you found this episode helpful, please share with a friend. Sherry, Becky, thanks for hanging out with us today. See ya.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.